writer-composer Joel Dorfner is here to talk about his new novel, Lawfully Wedded Husband, How My Gay Marriage Will Save the American Family, and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Even better now that I'm talking to you.
Tell us about your book, Lawfully Wedded Husband.
It's interesting. It's actually sort of several books in one. It started as a memoir of my husband's and my rollicking journey to the altar, but as it continued, it just sort of kept acquiring other things. So it became also a history of marriage equality. It became a history of marriage in my family. It became an exploration of what civil rights are. It became an indictment of gay racism, all in one, you know, cute 233-page package.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
My inspiration was, at the time I started writing, they were exactly two states. It was just Connecticut and Massachusetts, because Iowa hadn't happened yet. And now they're, I don't know, I've lost track. And that actually has been one of the frustrations of writing the book. You know, every time I thought I had what I felt and I wanted to say down, another state went and changed its laws in a way that meant I had to, you know, reevaluate an entire chapter. Ultimately, my inspiration for writing the book was that in 1993, when the Hawaii Supreme Court decided the first marriage case, during all the shenanigans afterwards about civil unions and domestic partnerships and this's and that's, you know, there was never any question in my mind. I was interested in marriage and only marriage. And one day I was talking about this with a friend of mine, and he said, well, why? And I realized that I'd never really thought about it except in, you know, a very cursory way. And so I started thinking and asking myself questions and kept asking questions, and I kept seeing that nobody had answered them, or that nobody had answered them in ways that worked for me. So I started writing a book to answer the questions, and I don't know whether I've answered them or not, or answered them in ways that work for people who read the book, but I'm hoping at least the exploration will be interesting to see.
What would you like to accomplish with this book?
There are a lot of things I'd like to accomplish. There are LGBT people who are against the fight for marriage equality because they say it undermines the subversion that has always been part of LGBT life, and they're right, it does. I was talking to my husband about this, and he said, yeah, I gave up my subculture and all I got was Lady Gaga. And there are LGBT people who are against the fight for marriage equality because they say it distracts us from other important fights, and they're right too. And there are LGBT people who are against the fight for marriage equality because they say it only benefits the largely white, largely upper middle class group that makes up most of the soldiers in that fight. But that's where I think they're wrong. Because ultimately, what the right to marry is about is the right to be recognized as a family. No kid ever asked a parent how people made a family and got the answer, well, when two people love each other very much, they have a civil union, and then they have kids, and then they're a family. The word marriage in America means family, and I guess that's some of what I'd like people to come away from the book with. But I also deal with a lot of other things. I address the question of what marriage is and what it isn't. I talk about the difference between legal rights and moral rights. So I guess ultimately what I'd like to accomplish is to get the reader thinking about things he or she might have taken for granted, and to get the reader questioning assumptions and examining choices.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I would say that my personal commitment isn't so much to LGBT civil rights, but to civil rights in general, to the rights of all the disfranchised. Right now in America, we're one group that's under attack, but there are a lot of other groups who are also under attack. Women, the poor, people of color, irrespective of sexuality. And Harvey Milk said when he had won, if a gay can win, it means there's hope that the system can work for all minorities if we fight. And he said, without hope, not only gays, but the blacks, the seniors, the handicapped, the usses will give up. And if you help elect to the Central Committee and other offices more gay people, that gives a green light to all who feel disenfranchised, a green light to move forward. Because if a gay person makes it, the doors are open to everyone. So I guess my commitment to LGBT civil rights is to make sure that the usses realize we're all in the fight together, and victory for one group is a victory for all, and we have to fight not for ourselves, but for each other.
What was your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court Prop 8 and DOMA rulings?
Well, naturally I was pleased, and naturally I was frustrated that they didn't go far enough. I think if we could have waited until Scalia died, an event that can't come soon enough as far as I'm concerned, the outcome would have been different. but I'm confident that the United States will have full marriage equality in my lifetime. I bet a lot of money on that.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I think the It Gets Better campaign is an incredible, incredible thing. And when the President of the United States records a video, you know we've come a long way, an incredibly long way, and I think that it's an important thing to say that it does get better. But I also think that there are some things left unsaid in these videos, and I think it's important to say them. One is that, yes, it gets better, but that doesn't mean it gets easy. And I don't mean being LGBT, I mean life. It's not as if when you graduate from high school, you know, Glinda swoops in and gives you a handsome boyfriend and a house in the suburbs and a puppy. And if she does, then don't tell me about it because I'll hate you. You know, the number of anti-LGBT hate crimes is set to double in New York City. From 2012, we're set to double. And then there's life, just life in general. Life is difficult. In my early 30s, there were a few years I wanted to kill myself, desperately wanted to kill myself for reasons that had absolutely nothing to do with being gay. And another thing that gets left out is that these videos usually make the assumption that the people watching them are white and often male. And LGBT people of color face their own challenges. LGBT women face their own challenges. Bi and trans people face their own challenges, both outside and, unfortunately, within the community. And It Gets Better videos also usually assume that the people they're aimed at can leave and want to leave wherever they live. What if you're in a rural town in the middle of nowhere and you want to stay? Hearing about somebody's fabulous life in San Francisco isn't going to do you a whole lot of good. So I guess what I'd say to teens having trouble is, yes, it'll get better, but you can also make it better. Call the ACLU LGBT Project, sue your school, contact GLSEN and start an anti-bullying program so your Neanderthal classmates can learn there are other ways to deal with their own repressed attraction to you than by kicking you down a flight of stairs. Or just talk to somebody, call PFLAG, call the Trevor Project. The important thing to do is to realize that you don't have to wait for it to get better. You can take action, even if it's just picking up the phone.
How can people get information about lawfully wedded husband?
Well, they can go to my website, joeldurfner.com. Or they can walk into any bookstore or go to Powell's.com or BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. Or, you know, they can call me because when you're a writer and you work at home every day, you get lonely with just the bodega on the corner to go and get chocolate and your dog who barks.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm also a composer, and a show I wrote actually just opened in Chicago a couple days ago. It's called Signs of Life, and it's about the ghetto Theresienstadt, which was a propaganda camp the Nazis set up during World War II, and it's brilliant, if I do say so myself. So if you're in Chicago, you should go see it. It's at Victory Gardens. I'm also working on a musical version of my last book, which was a memoir called Swish, My Quest to Become the Gayest Person Ever. That was about more or less the years from birth to 35, and this book, Lawfully Wedded Husband, is about more or less the years from 35 to 40, which means I have to wait a while before I have enough life to write another memoir, so I'm working on a murder mystery set in ancient Greece. I was reading The Apology of Socrates, and I thought, man, this guy's an asshole. You know, he's wandering the streets, corralling unsuspecting Athenians, just trying to go about their days, humiliating them in front of their friends. And I was also reading a murder mystery set in ancient Rome at the time, so I thought, well, I'll write a murder mystery set in ancient Greece in which Socrates is a bumbling idiot. So that's another thing I'm working on. It's pretty fun, but I have to say that I'm finding fiction about 100,000 billion times harder than nonfiction.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Actually, it's something that you and I touched on briefly when we were talking to set up this call. The subtitle of my book has the phrase gay marriage in it, but I don't use the phrase gay marriage when I talk. I talk about marriage equality because I don't eat gay lunch. I don't gay take the subway. I am not gay married. I'm married. A kid's menu is a limited kind of menu, so I feel like gay marriage is a limited kind of marriage, and I'm not interested in it.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Well, I have two, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. If I'm in a good mood, then it's from the musical Man of La Mancha, in which Miguel de Cervantes says, "When life itself seems lunatic, who knows where madness lies? Perhaps to be too practical may be madness. To surrender dreams, this may be madness. To seek treasures where there is only trash. Too much sanity may be madness. And maddest of all is to see life as it is and not as it should be." And when I'm in a bad mood, it's from a country song by Hoyt Axton, and it's, "Work your fingers to the bone, what do you get? Bony fingers."